Have your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus. And if it seems like I'm going to teach Sunday school, it's because we're teaching in the book of Exodus. And I've already taught the 8th chapter, by the way. I want to try to bring you a message this morning, if I can, of four temptations that Satan has put at the door of the church. Four tremendous temptations that Satan has put at the door of the church. I suppose if we look around us today and compare today's church, and I'm talking about the universal church of God now, all those that have been born into the family of God, no matter what their denominational name might be, but if we look at the universal church this morning and compare it to the church down through history, we'd have to come to the conclusion something terribly wrong. It would seem that the church certainly has lost the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not seeing the souls saved like they were under Dwight L. Moody and Charles Finney. We're not seeing children of God walking in the light of the Word of God as they ought today. And there's certainly something wrong in the church. And I believe part of the trouble might be in these four temptations, four testings that Satan puts at the door of the church. As we have been looking at the book of Exodus in Sunday school, we've seen that Pharaoh is a type or a figure of Satan, the prince and the power of the air that's about us, the ruler of darkness, the prince of this present world system. And that Egypt is a type or a picture of this world system, this world that's all about us. And as we've looked at this tremendous figure, we've seen that he stands for everything that's contrary to God and God's Word. He, if he can, will hold God's children in bondage and refuse to let them have any of God's light. God calls his servant Moses. He says, I want you to go over there to Egypt. I'm going to use you to deliver my children out of Pharaoh's hands. And he said in the third chapter, the 18th verse, he said, you tell Pharaoh I want him to go out and sacrifice unto me. Then in the fourth chapter, the 23rd verse, he says, you tell Pharaoh I want him to go out and serve me. Then in the fifth chapter, the first verse, he says, you tell Pharaoh I want him to go out and have a feast unto me. The first thing I'd have you see this morning about the church is that Pharaoh has blinded us, Satan has blinded the church to the sequence of worship that God has provided for his people. Did you know that? You know what most people today think of worshiping God? They first think of service, and then they think of feasting. And they miss the most important part, the part that they must have, or they have no part of the other two parts. That makes sense. You've got to have sacrifice before you can have service, and you've got to have sacrifice before you can have feasting and fellowship with God Almighty. Amen. You know what's wrong with the church today? And I'm talking about the universal church. And I hope and pray it's not true in this body of assembly, of believers. But the problem with the church today is that we have ushered in people into the church and taken them into the fellowship that have never been introduced to the sacrifice that God has provided for sin. We have taught them to go out and do service and try to offer a feast of fellowship unto God, and they have never been born into the family of God. Satan has blinded our eyes to the fact. I believe the churches today are full of unregenerate people who claim to be Christian. Such a shame. such a reproach upon the church of God today. God set down the order of worship. If you're to serve God, if you're to fellowship around His feast, then you must be introduced to the sacrifice. And that sacrifice is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, in this 8th chapter of Exodus, we see in the 25th verse, one of the first temptations that He lays at the church's door. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." When I taught that, I brought out how that he's primarily there talking about the people of God fellowshipping and worshiping with the religion of that day. And religion in Egypt at that particular time was very popular and widespread. They worshiped just about everything that moved. In fact, the nine of the 10 plagues that he brings upon them were brought upon their gods. And they were very religious people. And what Pharaoh's saying sounds very good, and the church has accepted it today. Pharaoh or Satan would say to the church today, "Let's all come together. After all, we're all trying to get to the same place, are we not? All few of us may be taken a different way, but we're all going to accomplish the same end." Right? Sounds good. You see, Satan has already hit them with the threats. He's come to them and he says, "Look, you're making them idle. They've got time on their hands. So I'm going to double up their work. I'm going to really put it to them." And that didn't work. God still takes His servant and comes back and begins to bring the plagues upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh. So when he can do what he wants to do by force, he comes in with his subtlety and begins to undermine the believers. He comes to us and he says, look at all the religions we have in the world today. Don't you realize all the religions are trying to get to the same place? Just using different ways. Come on and sacrifice with us. Now, you may not think this is too common today, but if you know anything about the National Council of Churches, and you know anything about the World Council of Churches, that's true. You know that believers are coming together with unbelievers, and they're beginning to have a union together, and they call themselves the people of God. Well, this is part of what he's telling. But there's far more than that in what he's saying here. He says, "Go ye and sacrifice your God in the land." In the 5th chapter, the 3rd verse, Moses told Pharaoh, he said, "We must go and worship or sacrifice unto the God of the Hebrews." Contrary to what we might think today, the God of the Hebrews is not the God of this world. Neither is He the God of this world's religion. And He will not share His high and lofty place with the religions of this world. Oh, Brother Kincaid and myself get criticized so many times because we take a stand against religion. And we'll continue to take a stand against religion because religion is a curse to the Christian church today.
Amen.
They come in with their rituals and their idolatry and deceive Christians and take them from the Word of God. But in any case, he says that's one of his first snares that he lays at the door. "Go, sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptian to the Lord our God. No, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before the eyes of the Lord? Will they not stone us?" You know, I got to thinking about that. And I'm so thankful that after I was saved, I was brought up in a denomination and brainwashed, like most people are when they're brought up in a denomination. Yes. And had my blinders on, you know. Couldn't see this way nor that way, just only straight ahead as I was being taught. But I praise God, there came an old boy from Bob Jones University in one day, and he didn't have too many denominational ties, because Bob Jones, I think they got over 100 different denominations attending that school. He didn't have too many axes to burn as far as denominations were concerned. And I began to learn some things from him, and God blessed my heart, and through no fault of our own, actually, we finally were more or less kicked out of that denomination. He got fired and we went with him. I praise God for it. Well, as time went on, I ran across Brother Kincaid, that one with the voice you're talking about. And he began to teach me some things. And I praise God that through Brother Kincaid and the Word, that have had my eyes open to some truths, to where I don't believe I could any longer be satisfied in any other type of worship than God has led us to. Moses said, if we do what you want us to do, Pharaoh, and offer sacrifice in the land, we'll offer an abomination to the Egyptians, and they'll stone us. Did you know this morning the snare is, make a sacrifice in the land. But let me say what Moses says this morning, it'll be an abomination to the Egyptians. Let me give you an illustration. Have you ever been in a good church where you walk in and you sang the first and the second line of the hymn and the third line, maybe just the first and the second. You sang maybe three songs, get up, have a prayer, have an offering, and sit down and you listen to somebody for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, give a message and an invitation, and all through the service you can hear a pin drop. And if somebody got up and said, Amen, praise the Lord, it would be an abomination in that congregation. Did you know that? You would be offering a sacrifice of praise and worship unto God with your lips. And it would be an abomination in most churches. And I'm ashamed to say it this morning, it would be an abomination in most fundamental churches. Brother, if you lifted your hand in church, they'd think you was crazy. Such a shame. Get excited about everything in the world except our salvation and what we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, it's time for the church to return to the place to recognize that God is God and He's holy and He's Lord. Amen. And worship Him as Lord and praise His holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, it'd be an abomination. Be an abomination to hear some of the things you hear in this little old assembly. Brother Kincaid sometimes praises the Lord so loud in here the lights dim and the ceiling kind of vibrates, you know? What's wrong with that? Is that what we do in a football game? We get excited about the Lord, don't we? And I tell you, it's a shame. It's an abomination in the sight of God. It's an abomination in the sight of the Egyptians, this world religious system. For us to love our God and to praise Him and to give praise unto His name. Be an abomination. Be an abomination. Just as it was then. He said, they'll stone us. Well, it wouldn't be quite that brutal today. They'd just excommunicate you. They'd just ask you to leave. That's all. Real sweet and real kind about the whole thing. Yeah. There may come a day, brethren, when we'll feel the rocks to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Worship Him like we feel we ought. There may come a day. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. He says we're going 3 days in the wilderness. And I brought out in Sunday school and I bring it out again. 3 days speaks of going all the way with God Almighty. Three is a perfect number. It's the perfect number of the Godhead. It's the perfect number of the finished work of the Godhead. You've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit make up one God. Perfect, complete, mature, as the brother was saying this morning. There's no other God. Not only that, it took 3 days in the grave for the Lord Jesus Christ and in hell for Him to complete our redemption as far as God was concerned. On that third day, by the grace of God, He come forth victorious over sin, death, and the grave.
Amen.
To complete our salvation. What's He talking about 3 days in the wilderness? If you would take a stand with Jesus Christ this morning, you're going to have to go all the way through death, burial, and resurrection with Him. You're going to have to separate yourself from this world system that we have that's under the influence of the devil. You're going to have to get out of this idea that we can just play around with being religious today and take a real stand for God. Oh, I'm telling you, I was religious after I was saved most of my Christian life, and I say that to my shame. Brethren, there's better things than being religious. Oh, I wouldn't trade for what I've had in the last 2 or 3 years. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Yeah? 3 days. That means you're going to be willing to die to self and let self be crucified upon that Roman cross with Jesus Christ. That means giving up the self-life. Did you know that?
Amen.
That means making Jesus Christ Lord. You were talking, brother. I believe you're right. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, there came a day when I recognized what I was before God and I accepted Him as Lord as well as Savior. Well, 3 days. As He shall command us. Let me tell you something. If Moses had no other reason to go 3 days in the wilderness, that's enough. God said it, that makes it so, and that's good enough for me. The Lord said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know the trouble with the church today? We not only love the world, we wallow in it. Not only do we wallow in it, we got it in the churches today. Most people that come in out of the world into the churches today, they feel right at home. Why? Brother, one reason they don't preach on sin like you said this morning in Sunday school. Sin is something that's just kind of looked over, you know, put aside. Oh, yes. We brought the world system into the church. How do we get our money today? We get it just like the world does, don't we? Oh, we don't quite go as far as the bingo games and the cakewalks and all that sort of stuff. But how many times do we really lean on the arm of the Lord for our needs and for our finances to carry out the work of God? Now, Brother Art's finding out that's the only way to walk, isn't it, Brother? The only way to walk. Provided for him all these years, and he didn't have any arm of the flesh to lean on. He's only had the Lord. Pretty strong arm.
Okay.
Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice unto to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. There's the second snare he puts at the door of the church today. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go out there in the wilderness. But don't go too far away. Just don't go very far away. That's the temptation that Satan comes to us with today. Brother Kincaid had a revelation from the Lord some time back when he was on the mission field in Guatemala. The Lord laid it on his heart that he just couldn't any longer take on some other name other than that only name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And people think we're nuts around here because we need in that name. You go out there and look for a name on the front of this church, you're not going to find one. This is a church that meets in the name of Jesus Christ at 602 Oak Knoll. We don't meet in the name of Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, you name it. We don't meet in any other name except that name. Because that's the name that every soul that'll be saved will be saved in, calling upon that name. And we're going to lift that name and magnify that name. Now let me tell you something. The world told Brother Kincaid a long time ago, and Satan told him, "Brother, you can go out into the wilderness, but don't go too far." And from what he's told me, that was quite a struggle in his life. Whenever the Lord laid this on his heart, he'd been a good Southern Baptist to begin with. Then he got converted and become a good independent Baptist. And finally, he really got delivered and
Praise
came out
Lord.
Of it all.
Praise the Lord.
But it took some doing. It took some doing. He had to go all the way, 3 days into the wilderness. He couldn't just go a little way from the world. He had to cut all the ties. And let me tell you something, when he cut all the ties, there was a lot of them dropped by the wayside. And you know, whenever I first joined in with Brother Ken Kent, I thought, well, what difference does it make? What difference does it make what name you meet in? If we meet in the name of Baptist, well, they'll think, man, we're a Baptist church. They know what we stand for. They'll just flock in here. Yeah, just like they're flocking in all the Baptist churches today. No. The more I have walked with it, and the more I've lived with it, and the more I've studied it, the more I know in order for us to walk with God and walk in His will and in His obedience, I'm going to have to walk all the way. I'm going to have to cut all ties with religion, with denomination, or anything else, and I'm going to put my name under that one name. Along with him. And if they think we're a bunch of nuts, praise God we are. Look, if you will, at the 10th chapter. Look at the 8th verse. And he has another one for us, another snare that he puts at the door. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said, and he said unto them, "Go, serve the Lord your God." But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, "We will go with our young, and with our old, and with our sons, and with our daughters, and with our flocks and herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And he said unto them, "Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it. For evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. The next temptation he comes to us with, this is the one where too many of us fall. He comes at us and he says, "All right, you want to go 3 days out in the wilderness? I'm going to let you go 3 days. It's just one little thing. To make sure you come back, I'm going to keep your children here in Egypt. Keep your little ones. You that are men, you go ahead. Leave the rest here behind." And this is the one, like I say, that gets most of us today, isn't it? Isn't it a shame that we're willing ourselves to go 3 days in the wilderness and serve God and worship God and offer sacrifices unto God, and we're also willing to leave our children in Egypt? Oh, I'm telling you. How many times you heard a parent say, "Well, when he grows up to be about 12 or 13 years old, I'll let him select his own religion." Huh? That's hypocrisy. You haven't let him accept anything else up to that point. You've put a clamp on them up to that point on everything else in their life, and all of a sudden you're going to turn them loose and let them accept their own religion? Or how many times have you heard parents say, "Well, those are her friends, and she has a right to select her friends"? Huh? I'm talking about leaving your children in Egypt. That's what I'm talking about, the world. Let me ask you parents something this morning. What do you know about the friends of your children, huh? Did you know the friends of your children probably spend more time with your children than you do? What do you know about them? Some of the greatest shocks that's come to parents today that we have testimonies of, not necessarily Christian, is that I didn't know my child was on dope. Why didn't you? Didn't you know who they were keeping company with? I didn't know my child was on alcohol and practically an alcoholic. Why didn't you? Didn't you know who they're keeping company with? Do you think God's not going to hold you responsible for your children's welfare? He says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know what's wrong today? We forgot how to train up a child. Here's how you train up a child. Brother, you hit it on the head.
Amen.
You train him up out of the Word of God.
That's right, brother.
You know what the Jew did? They had the law all over their bodies. They had it on their doorpost. They had the law just about everywhere they went. And not only that, God said to hide it in their heart, and they did. Most of the religious leaders of Jesus' day knew most of the Old Testament by heart. And they trained up their children to know it by heart. They had books they had to memorize. I'm not talking about commentaries, I'm talking about books out of the Word of God, out of the Old Testament. They had to memorize it. Why? Because God said, train up a child the way he should go. Do you think we're any less under the obligation to God under grace than they were under law? Do you think God is going to be satisfied to let your children go to hell with the devil and save you? Oh, I tell you, that's a tremendous responsibility. You're going out in the wilderness and worship. Just leave your children here. He knows another thing. He knows if your children are left in the world, it won't be long till you'll be back there with them. Many times, worldly church people are even brought more back into the world because their children have gone to the dogs. They don't see any power of God, and therefore they forsake Him. Ah, tremendous responsibility, is it not? We spend too much time with our children in front of the TV set than we do at a family altar. Is it not so? And what do they get on the TV set? Why, they get the Word of God. No, they don't. They get fed all the doctrines of the world. If they don't get it enough 6 to 8 hours a day at school, why in the world do you want to feed it to them 4 to 6 hours at night? This worldly philosophy, get what you can while you can at any cost. That's the philosophy of the world. That's the world's religion today. That's not God's plan of salvation. God's plan is always give. Yeah? We spend too much time training up the children in the ways of the world rather than in the ways of God. I'm going to teach my little old girl to go to dancing school, you know, and get to be light on her feet. And she might get to Hollywood and become a tremendous star. Boy, all the world will look at her and say, isn't she something? You know what's going to happen? God's going to look at you and say, aren't you something? Because at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to give an account of what you did with your stewardship with your children. Did you know that? Most of us got the cart before the horse. Billy Sunday had it before the horse. Billy Sunday thought service to God was the first calling upon his life, and that's true. But service to God also includes, first of all, the responsibility of the family that God Almighty has given you. Your first responsibility, your first act as a steward, is to lead those children to the Lord Jesus Christ and ground them in the Word of God where they can't be deceived by the Satan. Billy Sunday said, you show me the devil, I'll stand up and fight him with my dying breath. Satan can't get me. And he didn't. But
from what I can understand, he got his children. Yeah, leave your children in the world. Leave your children in the world. Such a shame. And there's another one. In verse 24, same chapter. The fourth one that he leaves at the door. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. And I guess this is the one that hits us all harder than anything else. Most of us are concerned about our family. Not as concerned as we should be. We're concerned. I think we let them indulge far too much in things that they ought not to indulge in. But Satan comes up. You can go out there and sacrifice. You can even take all your family. Just leave your billfold in Egypt. Just leave your money. Just leave your flocks and your herds. Let me ask you something this morning. Moses said we can't serve the Lord unless we take animals out there to sacrifice with. We can't serve Him. Serve Him. Did you get that? We can't serve the Lord unless we take offerings of sacrifice unto Him. What are the offerings of sacrifice that God's given us that Satan wants to keep in the world today? Money. Money. Did you know it's almost impossible to serve God today without financing? You know why there's not more missionaries on the field today than there is? It's not because there's not candidates. We got a letter from a young fellow we met in Missouri just past week. And he's praying about going to Indonesia, I believe it is. And he wants to get on the field. He said, man, the fields are ripe under harvest. And he needs to get out there. He don't know how much longer they're we're going to have to harvest the crop. And just a few things holds him up. One of them's his passport and his papers to get in. The other one's finances. You know, it costs something for a missionary to take his wife and family, go down to a foreign country and preach the Word of God. Where does the money come from? It comes from God's people. It comes from God's people. And you know where most of the money of God's people is today? It's in Egypt. It's in Egypt. We've left it in Egypt. We just recently, the past month, took up a special offering. And I praise God. Over $3,600 came in to publish the gospel in newspapers in Mexico, beginning at Mexico City. To get the gospel to a nation that has very little witness. And I praise God for it. But do you know, if most of us hadn't had our cattle in Egypt, that might have been 7,000, like Brent said, a perfect number, complete. Could have been 7,000. Yeah, he said, leave your cattle down here in Egypt. I find it very easy to take my finances and spend them on me and mine. I don't know about you, but it becomes very easy to me. I find it very difficult when it comes a time to give unto the Lord that which must become a sacrifice, because I know it's going to hurt a little bit. I find it very difficult. Are you in those shoes? Or have you ever been in those shoes? You know why? Our money's still in Egypt. Our cattle are still down in Egypt. Such a shame. All that God would reach down and revive His people in these closing days. That He'd reach down and convert us from our evil ways. I'm not talking about converting us unto salvation. I'm talking about converting us back unto Himself to where He becomes Lord. To where He could get us 3 days in the wilderness instead of just far enough out there to make our conscience feel a little pleased, you know. Lord, we're doing pretty good. Lord, I'm not doing bad. Why, Lord, I read 3 chapters last week. And I prayed at least a couple of times. Huh? Just enough out there in the wilderness to kind of make us feel satisfied with Him. Such a shame. Or, Lord, I have given my children the gospel. They won't respond. And they just go into the dogs. Well, I took them to church last Sunday morning. And 3 Sundays before that, I took them to church too. Yeah. You've left your children in the world. You've left them in the world. And then what about your money? Such a shame that God's work goes short today. Because of the worldliness of His people. I believe the call on the heart of the believer today is to come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Separate ourselves from the things that keep us from, in truth, serving the Lord. Oh, there needs to be a return, doesn't there? There needs to be a return. Let me just for a moment say this to anyone that might be here that's not saved this morning, that never have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My friend, you have no part in what we were talking about this morning, but you can have a part. You might be religious, you might be trying to serve the Lord, you might be offering even up praise unto the Lord at times. But if you haven't brought the proper sacrifice before God, you are not accepted by Him. And He knows you not. There will come a day, if you continue in that way, when you'll stand before Him and He'll say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." I never knew you. That don't have to be this morning, because you can bring the proper sacrifice. God provided us a sacrifice 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist was at the River Jordan baptizing believers that were coming to Him because of their repentance. And one day he lifted up his eyes and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And lo and behold, Jesus was approaching him. You see, God did provide a sacrifice for you this morning. 2,000 years ago, God the Son left all the glories of heaven. God Himself came to this earth, and according to John, He tabernacled among men. He took upon Himself a body. And for 33.5 years, He lived an absolute perfect life. Not one blot or blemish was found in Him. Because you see, the Lamb of God that had to be accepted of Him had to be a Lamb that had neither blot nor blemish in it. Had to be absolutely perfect. In fact, the Jew had to keep it up for several days to make sure that that animal was absolutely perfect. After Jesus had ministered on earth before God, the Father looks down from the battlements of heaven and said, "I am well pleased in this one." He never said that about anyone else. Here's one that He was well pleased in. He's never been well pleased with me. except as he sees me in Christ Jesus. But he saw in this one, I'm well pleased with this one. I can take this one that I'm well pleased in, and I can sacrifice him as my lamb, as a burnt offering unto me. I can hang him on the great brazen altar, his cross, and there I can judge him for the sins of mankind. And you know what God the Father did? He took his beloved Son, that was absolutely spotless, had no sin to die for, because he had no sin in him. There was no blot nor blemish. And he took that beautiful Son of his and he hung him upon that cross. And there he took all the vile sins of mankind. Just my own vile sins are so corrupt I hate to even imagine them. But he took all the vile sins of all of mankind, from sinful Adam right on to the last man that will be born in this world. And he took them all and he placed them upon Jesus Christ. And he died there and he paid for those sins. The sin question's been taken care of this morning, my friend. Jesus paid for your sins 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Now, if you, by faith, trust in what he's done for you on Calvary 2,000 years ago, and trust in him as being your payment from sin and cease from your own work, and turn with a repentant heart, recognizing you've sinned against the holy God, turn to Jesus Christ and cry out for mercy, God says, I'll save you. And I'll give you new life. Life eternal. And I don't know how anyone could turn that down. I praise God I didn't turn it down. Many here didn't turn it down. Wouldn't you this morning be willing to have Jesus Christ become your Lord and your Savior? Let me challenge your heart to give your heart this morning to him. Simply call upon him. He says in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, come to him as a repentant sinner. Lord, I've sinned against you. Forgive me. And cleanse me and save me for Jesus' sake. Call upon him. Or whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? If you were to die at this very moment, would you immediately be ushered into the presence of Jesus Christ? Then, if you say no to that, won't you this morning take him as your Lord and Savior so you'll have that assurance in your heart? Would you be saved this morning? Would you be saved from your sin? Let's bow our heads. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your call upon our lives. Oh, blessed Father, we'd have to confess unto thee that too much of us is in the world. Lord God, we'd pray that you'd convict our hearts, that, oh Lord, you'd make us separate unto thee. The blessed Lord Jesus, you'd have your own will and way in your lives of your people. Lord, we pray this morning for any that might be lost and knows thee not as Lord and Savior. Lord God, that you'd reach down even now and convict their heart of their condition before thee. Lord, that they need thee as Lord and Savior of their lives. Bless their hearts, O God, and draw them unto thyself, we pray. While your heads are still bowed, won't you call on the Lord Jesus Christ? Simply from the depths of your heart, say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you and against heaven. Forgive me. I take Jesus Christ this morning as my Lord and as my Savior. Save me. For his sake. He says in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you this morning, by faith, will accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and pray that prayer, he said, I won't cast you out. I'll take you unto myself. and I'll make you sons and daughters. Would you pray that prayer this morning? Our blessed Heavenly Father, we pray now that Thou would draw unto Thyself any that might be lost here this morning, O God, and save them for Jesus' sake. Bless Your people now, Lord, as we go our different ways. Bring us back tonight, all hungry for Thy Word, O God, and hungry for fellowship around Thy table. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have anything you need to talk to me or any of the other brethren about, if we can help you in any way, if you need any advice or you're lost and you would like more of the Word, like to know more about how to be led to the Lord, any of us here would be glad to share the Word of God with you and show you what Jesus said. If there's no other word, then we'll be dismissed. Baptism, that's right. We got a amen, brother. All right, we're going to have a baptismal service this morning. This dear brother came two times last Sunday. And...